Good to see everybody. Peter, is it safe for me to move this over? No, just move it on. That's okay. You're a good man. Thank you. Okay. First day of two services. Let me just make a few comments regarding it, that we are one church. Okay, that's very important at a time like this, that we recognize that we function together, flow together, and stay together as a body. And therefore, in what I'm doing here this morning, I'm going to change a little bit of it, but yet use the same background. The end is near. That's not the end of the world, remember. It's just the end is life, perhaps, church life, perhaps, our function, perhaps, as we know it, has come to an end. We don't know where the pandemic is going to lead us. No one seems to understand what God is saying at the moment. That's fine. God is in control. Amen. That hasn't changed. Revelation chapter 8, there's silence in heaven at the moment. And says there in verse 1, for about the space of half an hour. It doesn't say exactly half an hour. And prophetically, that can be quite a period of time. A lot of the men of God and women of God who are in leadership across the world, they feel there's a silence at the moment in many areas, that things are shifting in the heavens and God is moving things around. I think we can see that by a lot of things that are happening. And God is his own way of doing it. So as one church, let me just move forward through this morning, Bill, if we can go. To the king's food, the young man said, no. So there was a time when they said no. And for your consideration, this is a time for us, church-wise, as Christians, believers, body of Christ, that we say no to certain things. The church becomes, I don't like the word separated, but the church itself becomes closer and closer to the purpose and plan of the Word of God. I think that's a better way that we do, because separation speaks of a lot of things that perhaps are difficult for us to understand. And in doing that, in 2 Chronicles, in those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. There is turmoil. COVID is kind of up and down, moving around, things that are happening. So we're in a turmoil, but we must stay firm as a church and as a body of believers. These young men are about to face the then most powerful ruler in the world, Nebuchadnezzar, means to protect the crown, and his last name, of course, being the Tsar. He is facing something that was rising up. I'm using his name, Nebuchadnezzar, because it's something that was rising up that had never been seen before, had never been observed in world power and in leadership. Nebuchadnezzar was very different, very, very different type of man, and very different in the way he functioned. We're entering into a lot of things that are different. He was a very intelligent man, very capable, but yet he went through a situation in his life which was complete upheaval and a total breakdown of his life in so many ways. So we're looking at these things. Just go ahead, we'll move on. These young men are about to face madness, mental disorder, foolishness, mindlessness, resulting in unbalanced behavior. You know, in speaking with people recently, and I'm talking about Christians and non-Christians, the one thing I've noticed, a lot of people are fearful, but they don't know what the future holds. A lot of businessmen, for example, they're planning, they plan for 5 years, 10 years. Some of them said, we don't do that anymore. We're just getting by at the moment. We're just keeping our eye on things, moving slowly. We're watching to see what happened, because says things are in upheaval. We're in different days. That's why on Wednesday nights, with you this Wednesday, we're moving through the Psalms of Ascension. We need to be in prayer. We really do. We need to be seeking God and calling on God. Go ahead. All right. I'm going to look at this with you over the next 3 weeks. In your life, these young men, for example, they had to know what they were facing. And they had to know that God was with them. And secondly, they knew that when they would go into this furnace, God would do something. What it was, we don't know, but he would do something. And thirdly, we are saved from. Now, that I'm using this because in your salvation, and in your walk with God, first of all, you are saved. You come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There comes a moment in your life, a moment in time, you can do this morning. You can ask the Lord right now, you can say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. You can come into my life and save me. Come in, create in me a new life. That's how salvation works. You invite him to come in. So we are saved. Then we are being saved. There's a process of your salvation. Doesn't mean you get saved as in a redemptive structure. No, you're saved as in the outworking of the redemptive work in your life. You have to work it out into your life. Thirdly, we are saved from. And that's a very important one. I'll come to that one. Just go ahead, Bill. We'll move on a moment here. In Romans 8, 24, the NIV, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? In salvation, you have hope. A lot of people say to me, I don't know whether I'm saved or not, Barry. My life is turmoil. I go through these problems. I go through these difficulties. Look what's happening around me. I'm worried. I'm frightened. I'm nervous. But inside, I pray and I ask God to help me. And I ask God, that's the sign of the saving grace in your work when you're asking God to come to you, to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to speak to you, to come and help you and cleanse you. The Spirit is working on the inside. That doesn't mean you have everything worked out. I haven't everything worked out. The longer I live, the less I find I've worked out. But the saving grace is what starts me off. These young men facing Nebuchadnezzar, they knew God. That's where it started. Now in that, just go ahead. In Philippians 2:12, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what you have to do. You work out your salvation. You're going to make mistakes. Okay? It's going to happen. And someone tells you that they have lived a perfect life, they've never committed any sin, they've never offended anybody, they've never hurt anybody, they've never done anything wrong, would you please send them to me? I want to know how they got there. Because it's part of working out your salvation. The pandemic we're presently going through, a lot of people, this is interesting, a lot of people are making things right. I'll leave it at that. There's one healthy aspect. People making things. I have been receiving phone calls, and this, I'll leave it at that. But it's good to see people making things right. Just go ahead. In Romans again, 5:9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from? I should have highlighted there, be saved from God's wrath through him. When you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is the commencement, actually, of your eternal life. You've asked Jesus into your life. You're going to spend the rest of your life with Jesus. Your actions, your deeds, and things that take place between here and there are things that you have to deal with. The hope that lies within you tells you, I'm going to come through this. We'll look at this a moment. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. I believe God that I'm a saved person, that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. One day I will see him. I will meet him face to face. Now, I've never had an angelic experience. I've never been in a place where I have met any of the angelic members of the throne of God. I know people and have spoken to people that have. They're very different. You can tell the reality of it. I've never had any experience like Paul speaking to the Thessalonian church. He had an experience. He says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But I have experienced the peace of God that rules in my heart when I've been faced with things that I did not know what to do. And when I got it wrong, God turned it around and worked it out right for me. Because he worked it out his way. The saving grace, which is produced by faith. You can see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. That is why, church, Wednesday nights are important. Get signed up, because the Psalms of Ascension will take you to a place where your faith will begin to grow. Faith grows. I can believe God for things now I couldn't believe for 30 years ago. Well, in the early days of your Christian life, you can believe God for everything. Most of it, you're just, well, I got to do this. Then you get sometimes to learn, it didn't work out the way I expected. But faith grows. And God gives you grace at that time. So that's great. I'm glad you try things. Your faith grows in God. As you work out your salvation and you stay close to God, it begins to grow. Your labor, prompted by love. This is the NIV. To love one another. I want to just interject this as we go through this because of the two services. This verse is very important in where we're going. It is very evident that church life is changing. Even all this was gone tomorrow. Spiritually, how could it be business as usual when you know that God can just stop everything in a moment? My advice to you, we don't, as ministry, we don't tell you how to live. We instruct you from the scriptures. Okay? That's what we do. And we instruct with the knowledge that we have. We can't go beyond that which we have. We don't have it, we don't have it. So that's fine. God's grace and mercy. But the scriptures are telling us that our faith is growing and that we are now being prompted by love to love one another. We don't know where this is taking us over the next period of time. My advice is stay together. Stay as one. Keep yourself in a place where you are in fellowship. One with the other. In a place where there's, may I use the term biblically, authority around your life. You may not necessarily want it over your life. That's your decision. But the authority is there around your life. You must decide what authority you want. And another aspect of that is in loving you, you're going to find yourself in a place as this proceeds that is going to change a lot of things that you had lived with, taken for granted, enjoyed, experienced, etc., 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 that they have changed and that people have changed. That's very obvious. But we love you. Church, we love you. And I feel that's very important. Times like this, people can get splintered. They splinter away. They move off. They meet together. They do this, they do that. They don't gather together in a fellowship like with David and Christina this morning. That was beautiful, Christina, even in Portuguese. I understood a little bit of it from Castellana, but not all of it. But in the Portuguese language, I could hear the love. That was the part, that the words that are used there, that we don't have them in English. They're words of the heart, not words of the mind. It will be evident as we stay together. The church moving from a people who are church life to community life. I'll speak on that in a few weeks, so relax. The church moving like the book of Acts. You had the corporate setting. You had the public setting. You had the ministry setting. And you had a community setting, which was individuals, families, groups in private, carrying on the work in private, that which was declared to them, now listen, declared to them from the pulpit. So it begins to grow in a community life. That's the way the book of Acts was. We'll look at that in a few, maybe in the latter part in October. You have the Spirit. That's what gathers us together. We're gathered by the Spirit. Makes us believers. I believe your word, God. And that faith and that love goes out into community. In other words, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is a very interesting word. Let me just look at it with you. In 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we always thank God for all of you. We pray for you. I trust Maranatha becomes a praying church. Now, not just praying for me, my needs, what I need, what I should have, what I need next. As we ascend, prayer will change. There's a powerful part of prayer which is in trust and which is in just interaction and the needs of others. In the Bible, if you examine it carefully, praying for the needs of others releases more to your life than you praying personally. We never forget you when we pray to our God and Father. We don't forget you. Times like this, we need to always be holding the body of Christ, the pastor's wife, the family, ministry, myself, and in the service yesterday, it was very emotional. I haven't heard all the results of it yet, but I know leading up to it, very emotional day. But I feel that this is a healthy place. It's almost like when we started in the early 70s and we didn't have all the buildings and everything, we looked out for each other because there weren't very many of us. And it's easy to lose that. I remember driving hours to go to a meeting, delighted to be there, to find someone who could open this book that wasn't cracked up here and weird. People that could teach the scriptures. Because I discovered I needed it. We need it today. When we pray to our God and Father, your work is produced by your faith. Your service is the result of your love. Your strength to continue comes from your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a beautiful verse. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. You're just in the first chapter. If you look at that, your work's produced. Sometimes you just do things. Why am I doing it? What's happening? What's going on? I'm doing it by faith. Your service is a result of your love. Some people aren't easy to love. But you love them because Jesus loved them. And your strength to continue comes from your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I know, God, you're with me. I know, God, you're there. I know, God, you'll come on the scene. That's why stay together. That way we can watch it. Take care of it. Look out for you. The enemy loves to, like a lion, if you watch a lion on television or those nature programs, isolate. Isolate. Isolation in the animal they're chasing, especially South Africa. I remember distinctly a lion. I remember a lion getting a giraffe. It was actually up in Zimbabwe. Isolated it. For 3 days, we followed it up in Wangay, up in the game reserve, heading up towards Victoria Falls. For 3 days, it isolated it. And eventually wore it out. And after all that, it had just killed it. There were three of them. Three lions we missed up. After 3 days, sleeping in car and waiting, we missed the final thing. But it had worn the animal out. Drove it the whole way up. They just kept driving the animal in front, the three lions. That's what the enemy does. Get you separated. Can come through a fence. Oh, I don't need church. I don't need this. Whatever it is, don't listen to it, okay? If it's not Bible, don't listen to it. Your strength to continue comes from your hope in the Lord. Just go ahead. In hope, we have been saved. I haven't, as I said, been to heaven. I don't understand a lot of things about the last times, the last days, but I know the hope that lies within me. is beautiful. It's a lovely hope. Just go ahead. Colossians 1:5, your faith and love are based on the hope you have. What you hope for is stored up for you in heaven. I'm not going to get everything here. Like Anne's mother, her name was June Harris. She spoke about heaven continually over the last number of years that I knew her. She said, I know my time is coming to be there with Jesus. I have served Barry all I can serve here. I don't have the strength or the energy anymore. I'm waiting to see my friends. I thought that was beautiful. And she said an interesting thing. She was 89 there when she passed away a few weeks ago. She said, I don't aspire to 90. But the way she said it, you could tell something had happened. You know, as a church, in a church experience, and I have experienced it, and I know many of you have, but there are times like this, and what we're going through, that the church can experience a little piece of heaven on earth. Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you're not asking for something that's not biblical. Revelation, book of Revelation, you have heaven, earth in the chapters. And in that, sometimes God just comes and just lets you know this is the hope that lies ahead. This is the hope that's there. I recall, it's quite a few years ago, but I remember it was actually a person, and it was a situation, they were being healed, and no one prayed for them as directly saying, be healed. But I remember being there, and the presence of the Lord came down over the top of us. It was very powerful. It was actually in Uruguay, in Montevideo. And this young lady, she was actually beside me. And the presence of God just settled around behind us. You could feel the tangible presence of heaven. And God just touched him. I thought that was beautiful. It was a beautiful miracle, beautiful touch, because no one got the glory, if that makes sense. God did what God does. It is my feeling in my own spirit, we're going to come into this again, that no flesh will glory in his presence. God will just heal people. For that to happen, we need to recognize, you've already heard about it, you were told about it, and when the message of truth was given to you, I'm talking about the good news. When we stay together, we speak of the things of God, we work through life together, God brings us into a beautiful place. Just go ahead. Hope is joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. That's the definition of hope. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Maybe this morning, as we move towards two services, that which keeps us together is the Spirit of the Lord. You become a believer. You believe the truth. Then you become a believer as you work through truth, and it becomes part of you. And the hope that lies within you gets stronger and stronger and stronger. The closer you get to God in prayer, the closer you come around God, and the battles you face, you become closer. You then become a believer. The Bible says, help the disciples to help my unbelief. Sometimes your belief system comes under a battle with the enemy, and he tries to create unbelief. That's fine. You go through that. But joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. One day, we will be with Jesus. This is what makes the Christian church, the Christian life, so different. At the end of it all, because this life is short, but at the end of it, I'm going to be with the Lord. As a church, as we function together, it's my desire that we grow in a knowledge of the hope of God, that we will see him move amongst us, move in his presence amongst us. when we function as a church and as a community. The community aspect of church life, the community side, is a very powerful side. And we'll look at that. You'll get that actually when we do Wednesday nights. I want to keep that in prayer. So get signed up for that. It's the only way, because we only are limited in what we're doing on Sunday morning. In prayer, you move in prayer from being a person who is asking God to a person who is seeking God. And then from a person who is seeking God to a person who is around God. That's the way it works. Now, I'll have to explain it to you, but we're not doing that. Now, we have to break it down. Make sure you're signed up. Because you'll see in the Psalms of Ascension, as we move through from 120 right through to 134, closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the throne room. It is possible that the hope that is in you has been dampened, maybe torn at a little bit. You've lost hope. Well, that's just personal, okay? I don't know if that helps you or not, but that's personal. But God hasn't lost hope. This pandemic has not taken God by surprise. He's God. He's in control. So he has a way of finalizing what he wants to do. Let me pray with you. Our time is going, gone. It's 5 to 11. I want to ask the Lord to come. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, don't leave this morning till we pray and you accept Jesus Christ, and we will give you a Bible if you haven't got one. And you'll ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and life. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to anoint Pastor Jared, and I'm going to pray for our needs this morning. We just ask it, Lord, in your precious name, that you come to the body of Christ this morning, the gathering of your people. And Lord, that they will understand the hope that lies within them and the work of God that's taking place in them, and that one day it will all be brought together as we meet him face to face. And we bless the church. We protect, ask God's protection on your life this morning. We pray God be with you, guide you, lead you, and keep you in safety. In Jesus' name, Lord bless you.